Good morning. Well, of course, I've been in here since before 8 o'clock, and it was nice out then. Is it scorching out there yet? Going to be a hot one. So again, be careful getting in and out of your automobile, especially in. Crack the door and wait a few seconds. Let the hot air get out. Don't just jump right in. Check on your elderly neighbors. Take care of your pets. But it is good to be here on sacred and holy ground today to worship and praise the Lord our God. This is what it's all about. Doesn't matter what it cost us. Doesn't matter how much we have to sacrifice to be here. God said to, and this is where we belong as the children of the Most High God. So it is good to be here with everybody. We've still got several things going on today, and you'll hear about those in just a moment. And we have communion today, of course. Communion is when we celebrate the life, death, resurrection, everlasting life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So all throughout the service, be thinking about what Jesus has done for you, so that as we come forward and take communion, or as it's brought to you today in the pews, you will hug Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, thank you for today, for all the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for being here with us in this place. Thank you for communion and all that that means. Communion, it's a game changer. It's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. It indeed is what takes us out of the world. Though we may be in the world, we are no longer of the world because of communion. Thank you for that. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts, our homes, our church. Come, Holy Spirit, into our relationships. Mold us and shape us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. Fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, and the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
July's memory verse comes from Romans, the book of Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere, hate is evil, cling to what is good. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. We have several announcements to make today. Jack, be up.
Morning, church. They didn't make it last Sunday. We got in last Saturday evening around 20 after 8 to our house and began the task of decompressing. It was good to get home in the daylight, but this body didn't recover very well. And Sunday morning, I had an invitation with my pillow and was not able to be here with you, but I came to talk to you this morning and tell you three things. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's very difficult to not get emotional about something that you pour a lot of love into. If you had an opportunity to read the newsletter, and I'm not going to rehash that, you know that things went well. We completed the task, and it wasn't without some ups and downs, some plans B, C, and D, but we made it through. What I'm here to talk to you about is the appreciation that we experienced in doing this particular project. Never been unusual when we're working for a family, for that family to just be overwhelmed about what we're doing for them in such a short period of time. Because when we leave them, their lives will be changed. Their futures will be changed because of what we're doing. But this particular challenge that we had, I talked about this. I said that it was going to affect the community, and it did. We had people stopping, coming into the parking lot, asking where we were from, thanking us for what we were doing. We had people who were walking up and wanted to know if they could do anything for us, if they could help us. When Pat took the youth over to the thrift store and they were restocking the baby layette, she received the same kind of welcome and thank yous. But I think the thing that probably maybe touched me the most was Wednesday evening we went to the Dairy King. Yes, you heard it right. It's the Dairy King in downtown Philippi, West Virginia. There was 24 of us, and a couple came up. We were about halfway through ordering, and they waited patiently, and at one point asked, well, where are you folks from? And I said, well, we're from Pittsburgh. Oh, where at in Pittsburgh? I said, well, actually, Irwin. Oh, we have friends that live up there. You know, it's a small world. And these people weren't anxious. They weren't concerned about the fact that they had to wait in a long line because of us. They thanked us for being there. So once again, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, God's been good to this ministry. You people have been good to us. It's not always been easy for Pat and I. We talked about that on the way back, but guess what? It's not about us. It's about this ministry and about this church and about touching lives. You know, it was something that I hadn't planned on saying last evening when I was speaking to the Saturday night service. But you know what this is about? It's about faith in action. God bless you. Thank you for supporting us. Amen.
Pat, please stand. Oh, okay. All right. Pat has some great stories if you get a chance to talk to her about the teens and layette ministry, especially down there. And the one that really I thought was cute was that they were going to help her sort some stuff out, and she said, put the onesies. And they said, onesies? What are onesies?
You know?
The boys. Yeah, the boys had no idea. So they got an education. Pat and Jack, I mean, the moment the one mission trip is over, even as they recover, they begin praying and thinking about next year. What can they do different? What do they need to do? It goes on like that. And so much more work goes into it than what we see and what we know about. All the stress and all the work that they do behind the scenes and that, they really deserve a great big round of applause. And not just for Jack and Pat, but the two of them as representing the whole mission team. Because all of us get to share in their reward because we supported them. But they're the ones that went to the front lines. They're the ones that made the real sacrifice. You and I, we share in that because we helped them. But we need to thank them. The team members. If you're a team member, stand up. Tom's out there. Yeah. Yep. Thank you for what you do.
While we're on the subject of thank yous, I want to say thank you to all the people that helped and the people who came and had their picture made this week. We ended up with, I think, 77 sits out of a possible 80. We would like to schedule another day, probably toward the end of summer, because we had quite a number of people who were unable to make it on Monday or Tuesday for one reason or another. So I'm going to pass the clipboard around today, and not just for members. If you are a face out there in the congregation, if we ever see you here, on a Sunday morning. We want you in our family album. So I'd like you to put your name and contact information down on the clipboard as it goes around. And as soon as we get another date, I will let you know when that is. We really want everybody's picture in here. So please sign up on there. Thank you. Yeah, I should add that it's free. Like, that's a four-letter word that we like. It's free. And I think the people that came and had their picture taken were kind of surprised, because if they went and told the photographer, I just want my free 8x10, they said, okay. Not okay, but here's all these other things. They just said, okay, no problem. And things went so fast and so smoothly, we actually had dead time a few times where there was nobody there. So it's almost painless. I mean, you do have to get dressed up, but, you know, other than that, sign the board. Thank you.
Okay, there are some other announcements within your bulletin. Vacation Bible School is fast approaching. I believe Penny still needs some help, so if anyone is interested in helping out with Vacation Bible School, please see Penny. Okay, it is now time for our call to worship. Please stand for our call to worship. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, in the Lord's word I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For the Lord there is steadfast love. With the love there is plenteous redemption. Hymn number, Lord Lifted Me, on the printed inserts of your bulletin.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, and please be seated. Who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches. Oh my, I tell you what. Let's play a little game of Simon Says. Stand up over there. Spread out. We're not playing yet. We're just getting ready. Okay. Back up a little bit. Back up down on there. Okay. Simon says, walk halfway down that aisle. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. You know, I would say that that's probably halfway down the aisle. Now, when Jesus asks us to do things, we got to give it our best effort. We're not always exactly sure exactly what it is Jesus wants us to do. We just know that the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus, is just telling us to do something. So we give it our best. So, okay, come back up here. Oh, yes. Simon says, come back up here. Stop. There you go. Okay, Simon says, turn around in a circle. Okay, Simon says, stand on one foot. It didn't have to be your own. It could have been somebody else's, but no, that's all right. Simon says, put your foot down. Okay, lift the other foot up. Oh, you guys are good. All right. Let's see. Simon says, clap your hands. Okay. Simon says, keep clapping your hands. Okay. Fred says, quit. That's right. We don't listen to anybody else except Jesus. Remember that. Simon says, you can quit clapping your hands. If you think the pastor is handsome, witty, and charming, and intelligent, clap your hands. Simon says, clap your hands. Oh, I'm glad you think so. Thank you. Thank you very much. And Simon says, you can quit clapping your hands. There are so many things that God wants us to do, and it would be real nice if we had a Simon Says, if we had a voice that said to us, Jesus said, do this. Now, we can find out what it is Jesus wants us to do. Where at? In the Bible. And so we know that there are things that we're supposed to do, like coming to church. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit to say, ooh, I want you to go to church today. No, we know that it's church. We know that the Bible says we're to come together in church. We know that God desires our worship, so we just do it. Even if we feel like, oh, I'd rather sleep in today, or I'd rather go somewhere else today. Go later. Go to church first. God deserves that. We know that we should read the Bible. We don't wait for a voice to say, this is the Holy Spirit, read the Bible. We read the Bible because we know it's good for us, and that's where we learn the truth about Jesus. And we need to know that information so we can share it with others. So Simon says, close your eyes. How many fingers do I have up? Oh, you were just guessing, but that's good because you got your eyes closed. Okay, Simon says, open up your eyes. Okay, Simon says, game's over. Come on up here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go. We want to do your will, Lord Jesus. So WWJD, what would Jesus do? May that be a way of life. Come into our hearts right now, Jesus. We ask it in your precious name. And all of God's children said, amen.
To the Lord, it doesn't have to be on key. It doesn't even have to be to music. So we're going to give her a go. I invite you to sing along if you feel so led, especially on the chorus. Crowds line the narrow street to see this man from Galilee. Just a carpenter, some say, leading fools astray. Yet many kneel to give him praise. And in his eyes they glimpse the power that sees the hearts of all men. And he knows his Father's mind. He speaks his Father's words, for he comes in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When all my plans have fallen through, and when my strength is nearly gone, when there's nothing left to do but just depend on you and the power of your name. And when we call upon your name, your strength through weakness to show, we can know the Master's plan, extend the Master's hand when we come in the name of the Lord. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. His name will be worshipped forever. Creator, Redeemer, and King. Sing with me. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he.
Thank you. That was awesome. The word of God comes from Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 3 through 6. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you have given us, that which we celebrate on the altar today. And so we give to you our sacrifice, not only of our tithes and our offerings, but of our very lives. So use us as you see fit and use all that we have for your honor and glory and praise. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Lou and Jerry celebrated their 62nd wedding anniversary on June 30th. Wow. Well, Jerry, there must be quite a concern for you. We'll put that down. Yes. Other joys. All right, turn one. Yeah. The twins are one. Oh, for the camp, you're going to camp this year. Okay. Other joys. Okay, so the premature baby may be going home soon, doing well, but still a concern. Continuing to keep the little one in our prayers. Bill. There you go. Mr. Bob. Yes. Bob, good to have you back here, buddy. Okay. Yeah, it's real praise the Lord that Josh Berger was able to put all the videos and pictures from the mission trip on Facebook and that for us on the church website. So if you haven't seen them, go and look at them. Yep, thank you, Lord. Other joys. Music. Yeah, music's always a joy. Our freedom to worship. That's right. Let's not take that for granted. Yep. Thank you, my personal favorite, indoor plumbing. Okay, your niece is cancer-free. All right. Yep, and we had quite an anointing for John during the first service. A lot of people came down, laid hands on John, and he's going for a procedure tomorrow at Allegheny General Hospital. Okay, for all of our joys, we like to say praise the Lord, so let's say praise the Lord. Pens and pencils are homework, and it'll come here fast and furious. Our country and our country's leaders, USA, and our country certainly needs our prayers. Pray for our church, that we would grow in leaps and bounds, be fruitful for God. Let's lift up John in our prayers and continue to pray for David, Virginia, as they battle cancer. Pray for those who are battling addiction and any kind of addiction, for their family and friends. Addiction ruins lives. We want to pray for our missionaries, all those who are traveling. Let's pray for Matt and family. Back of our bulletin, you'll see a list of prayer requests and names. Who else do we want to pray for? Pray for Julie, and let's pray for Bruce. Julie and Bruce. So 32 years old, lost his battle with addiction. So we need to lift up the family in our prayers. What's the family's? Alfred? Okay. Donna, keep Donna in your prayers. Diane. Unspoken requests. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Forgive us when we take any of them for granted. And Lord, we lift up into the light and love of your presence our country and our country's leaders at all levels of the government. We pray for our church, for the ministry here, that we would be all that you want us to be. Come, Holy Spirit, bring a great revival into our church. We pray, Lord, for John, that everything goes smoothly tomorrow, that it's a huge success. We lift up to you David in Virginia, those who are battling addictions. We lift up to you missionaries and Julie and Bruce, Matt and family, Donna and Diane, the Alfred family, Vacation Bible School, Travelers, all those names on the back of the bulletin. Again, God, we believe, God, help our unbelief. We believe you're greater than any problem that any of us has. And so, Lord, we give to you all these cares. We cast our burdens upon you because you care for us. We have favor with God and man. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And with you, God, all things are possible. It is written. No matter what the world says, no matter what anybody else says, with you all things are possible. And so we give you the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. This is the word of the Lord. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she only grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. You guys deserve a medal. You know that? It's the third time they've heard this story. I'm kind of feeling like it's nice out. Let's just get out of here, you know. We got communion to do yet. But I'll tell you this, one of my favorite passages, because it's just loaded. And the visual effects are just awesome. I mean, anytime you do your Bible reading, and if you're not doing it, you need to do it, okay? But anytime you do your Bible reading, read a section of the Bible, no matter what it is, and then ask yourself, what does it say about God? What does it say about people? What does it say about the relationship between God and people? That's one way. The way we're going to do it now, though, is we're going to talk about Jesus' journey on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, and we're going to ask ourselves, what do we hear, see, feel, smell, and touch? So there's Jesus gets off the boat, out of the sea, gets out of the boat, and all the people start to gather around him. Jairus comes up to him, falls down at his feet, begs him to come see his 12-year-old daughter who's dying. And Jesus agrees. And so they proceed to walk through the town on their way to Jairus' house, followed by all these people and Jesus' disciples, people who believed in Jesus, people who were looking for Jesus to bless more bread and fish, people who wanted to see what exactly Jesus was going to do, curious people, but a lot of people, right? Wherever Jesus went, there were hundreds and thousands of people all the time. So there's all these people crowding around Jesus. Jairus would be walking right with him. Then Jairus' entourage, whoever was with Jairus, because he was the synagogue ruler. So he would have people with him. And then Jesus' disciples and all the other people. And they're walking down these narrow streets in town on their way to Jairus' house. What do you smell? Dust, yeah. We smell dust. And you know my personal favorite, indoor plumbing? They didn't have a lot of that back then. A lot of unwashed bodies. They weren't wearing a lot of deodorant and that. I mean, that was expensive stuff. So there was a lot of unwashed bodies. So you're smelling that. We're going through town. Who knows? Maybe somebody's baking bread. Maybe there's a smell of things being cooked and washed. So there's a mixture of smells, odors coming to us. What do you see? Yeah, what do you see? What? Birds. What else do you see? Buildings. Yeah, see buildings. Livestock. Okay, maybe a few chickens. Maybe some pigs. No, wait a minute. We're Jewish people. Anyways, there's a lot of people. See a lot of people. Kids, men and women. Okay, we see all that. We're on our way. Crowds are pushing all around Jesus. See, we smell, we see. What do we hear? Murmuring, laughter, talking. Maybe dogs barking, feet plodding, clothing rustling, maybe birds singing, okay? All right, what do we taste? Dust. That's probably the most obvious answer would be dust. Hair? Air. Air, it could still even be salty from, we're not that far from the sea. What does that leave us with? Smell, oh, feeling, what do we feel? We feel hot, we feel heat, we feel a lot of, yeah, pressed against you, you know. People pushing up against each other, this place, we're packed, we're crowded. So we've got all this going on. Big crowd of people, all these different sights, sounds, smells, tastes, feels, and all this noise. And there's this little old lady who has been sick for for 12 years, getting sicker all the time, flat out broke because she has spent everything she had on doctors to no avail. In Jesus' day, if you had an issue of any kind of bodily fluid, what were you considered? Unclean. And if you were unclean, what was the rule and regulation, the law? Stay away from everybody. You were shunned. You were not allowed around anybody. For 12 years, this woman has been an outcast from her family and friends, from the marketplace. She's not allowed to do any of that. If anybody touched her, they would be unclean. Then you have to go to the priest. The priest has to declare if you're clean or unclean. You've got to spend a week outside the camp, give up an offering before you can come back into civilization. So this little old lady, and that's the way I view her, a little old lady, 12 years she's been sick and getting sicker. She has been shunned. Her life is a wreck. Somebody, now let those who have ears hear, somebody told her about Jesus. They told her about Jesus. They didn't say, Jerry, there's Mike. They didn't just say that. That's not telling Jerry anything about Mike. But somebody told that woman that Jesus was performing miracles, that he was walking on water, that he was multiplying fish and bread, that he was stopping storms with his command, just telling the wind and the waves to cease. And they obeyed him, that he was healing the sick, that he was even raising the dead. Somebody convinced this woman that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, and that he has this power. She was so convinced that it says in verse 28 that she thought to herself, if I just touch his clothes, it's all I got to do. Just touch him and I'll be healed. I will be healed. Not maybe, not could be, not might be. I will be healed. Somebody convinced her. And I want to tell you today that that's your job and my job, is to convince people that Jesus is the answer they need for the problems they have. We have to convince people that Jesus is more than capable of taking care of their problems. We just can't tell people about Jesus. You need Jesus. You should come to church, period. Oh, man, look, this is what Jesus did for me. This is what Jesus did for Janet. This is what Jesus did for Terry. This is Almighty God, and he is what you need. We've got to convince people that they need Jesus. We're all called to do that, to be ambassadors of Christ, to baptize the whole world in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have to convince people that even though they're living in the world, they are not of the world once they accept Christ. Somebody convinced that woman, and then she had made up her mind, she will do whatever it takes then to touch Jesus. Let's say this whole aisle was filled up with men and women. Let's throw in a few dogs and kids. A lot of laughter, a lot of noise, dust being kicked up in the air. And this little old lady comes out of her door where she's been secluded for all them years. And she's got to get from here to the front of that line to touch Jesus. Whew. She'd been sick for 12 years. But she made up her mind that she was going to do whatever it takes to get up there to touch Jesus, to fight her way through the crowd, which represents all of the temptations and evils of the world. And she did it. She pulled her way through, and she got down and crawled and stood up and fought her way through, and people yelling at her, and she had to go around a few people, and she fought her way all the way up until she touched the hem of his garment. Now here's the good news. You and I have to convince people they need to do whatever it takes to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. They have to put aside all the distractions of the world and make Jesus their number one priority. Here's the good news, is that the moment she touched him, what happened? She was healed because power went out of Jesus automatically. It's like plugging a lamp into an outlet. You just plug it in and you've got electricity. As soon as you touch Jesus, power comes out of him and just fills you up. The moment you connect with Jesus, if you are willing to do whatever it takes in your life, not to worry about what people think about you, not to worry about what your schedule has to, what you have to do with your schedule, not to hold back anything, but you are willing to touch Jesus, do whatever it takes to touch Jesus, then automatically the power, the anointing of the Lord comes upon you for whatever purpose, for whatever reason. And God does a mighty work in you and through you. Because that's who God is. That's what Jesus does. It says later on in that chapter, chapter 5, that Jesus went about the countryside teaching and preaching. And it says as many people as touched him, they were healed. Maybe you need to touch Jesus. Maybe you need to do whatever it takes to touch Jesus, the hem of his garment. And I'm just going to throw this out there, but you know I love to call this altar rail. I love to call this altar rail the hem of Jesus' garment. You know why I do that? Because I know it takes a lot for you to get out of your pew and come down here to the altar rail. Because you're embarrassed. Because it's uncomfortable. It's not what we do. Somebody else goes first, maybe we'll go. But, you know, and it's like lifting hands. I told them last night's service, right? I talked about this last week. Everybody raise your hand. Simon says, put your hand up. Okay, wave them back and forth. All right, that was easy. It was easy, wasn't it? Do you know that that puts a smile on God's face? Do you know that that's biblical? The Bible says to raise holy hands to God. Do we do it? No. Why? Because we're afraid of what the other person's going to think about us. They're going to think I'm some kind of holy roller, I'm a nut. Or I'm going to go down to the altar rail, they'll think I'm a nut. Whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And once you've got that in your heart, you need to share that with other people. Because we live in a hurting world. And his disciples said to Jesus, everybody's touching you. What do you mean? He said, no, somebody touched me. Jesus knew that he was touched in a way that nobody else was touching him. Because she touched him with what? Faith. She touched him with faith, expecting something to happen. So when you do whatever it takes to come to Jesus, whether it's studying the Word of God, singing praises to God, praying to God, coming to church, being involved in ministry, whenever you do those things, you're making sacrifices to be more like Christ. Things will happen because you're doing it in faith, expecting something to happen. A lot of us come to church and we never expect anything to happen after we do. I've done my duty. I've gone to church. Man, you should come to church expecting to be blessed, expecting something to happen because you've been in the presence of God. That's the good news of that story. Love that story. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go and be freed from your suffering. So do whatever it takes to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. The altar rail is open as we sing this next song. It's open. If you want to come down after the service, it's open. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. there. Altar rail is open. If you want prayer while you're down there, just raise your hand. But again, it's open throughout this song, the rest of the service. Please turn in your hymnals to page 12 and follow along. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in his final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. We have free. If you need gluten-free, we have it up here. Just raise your hand. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Yes, we're eating bread. We got to remember that while we're doing this, Jesus is here the whole time, just smiling. He's got his arms wrapped around you, and he's watching you, and he's telling you he loves you. Our chewing and drinking is an act of faith. Hold it up. His body given for us. Take and eat. This act of Holy Communion, eating this bread, drinking this juice, it's a declaration on our part that we believe. It is a remembering of all that Jesus has taught us, the Word of God, what we've learned in church. It's remembering the resurrection, that the chains of death are broken, that the laws of nature have been smashed, that God is greater than any problem that we have, this act of Holy Communion reminds us that if we do whatever it takes to touch the hem of Jesus' garment, power will go out of him. This communion makes us different from the rest of the world. We're still in the world, but we're no longer of the world. Hold it up. His blood shed for us. Take and drink. Thank you. Let's stand and sing. Well, enjoy the weather. Be careful. Again, check on your neighbors and elderly and take care of those pets. And don't jump right into the car, but crack a window, open a door, let some of that heat on. Don't forget your sunscreen. Have fun. And spread the good news. Tell somebody what will happen if they touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Come, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and fill us with holy boldness. Put our eyes upon you and not upon the circumstances in our lives. Fill us with the revelation truth of Jesus Christ. Fill us with a hunger for your holy word and an overwhelming desire to seek your kingdom first in every area of our lives. Give us the words to speak to the people we meet so that they may see Jesus in us. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen.